Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. Final hour of the week. 14 hours up, and we're about to finish off the 15th hour. I hope all of you are ready for a great weekend. The Masters Friday edition back underway. Obviously, Justin Rose, dominant performance on Thursday. Can he maintain that position? That will be the number one story throughout the day on Friday, looking at the odds as things move forward. Do people believe in Justin Rose or not? Justin Rose around a 4-1 number on winning the Masters. So still a lot of uncertainty about his odds to be able to pull that off. So we will see exactly how that goes. Jordan Spieth put a little bit of mojo together down the stretch. Hideki Matsuyama, John Rahm, Patrick Reed, Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson, Dustin Johnson, and Brian Harman are around the top 8 or 9 golfers right now as we get ready for Friday to see what we'll look like going into the weekend. Speaking of going into the weekend, Danny G has been quarantining all week after he went last weekend to go watch the Dodgers play on the road against the Colorado Rockies. And we have been testing to see whether or not he's actually awake during the show or not. And I believe we have him on the line right now early in the morning out in California. Danny G, are you up? Are you with us?
You know that I'm wide awake. And even if I wasn't still doing all of the digital work behind the scenes, you know how this goes. You cannot sleep in because your clock is set to waking up so early doing morning radio.
It is funny on Saturday and Sunday, like you're like, I don't remember the last. It's a good point. Like, I don't remember the last time I slept past even. It's not like it's super late, but like 7:30. I mean, you know, a lot of times you think, oh, on Saturday or Sunday, like I'm going to sleep in forever. And then 7:30 is not like super late or super early, I don't think, for most people. But I can't sleep past that anyway, because it doesn't really matter what I go to sleep now. That's about the time that I just wake up. So yes, when you've been doing morning radio, what is this? We're almost into year 6 now, I think, of the show, if I'm not mistaken. I think we are in year 6, whatever the heck it is. So we've been doing this for a while. All right. So we haven't done this for some time now. I appreciate all of you who subscribe to the podcast, millions of you downloading it, downloading podcast every single month now. And what I would appreciate is if you'll take the time to go give us a 5-star review. You can also just go give us 5 stars. But the 5-star review, if you can be funny, if you can be smart, if you can be witty, then Danny G reads all of these reviews. And he will give you the honor of having your review read. So, first of all, we haven't done this in a long time. I've been forgetting to do it. What are the responses looking like of late? I don't really look at any of these. Do we have, in fact, I'm pulling it up right now. How many reviews do we actually have now? I mean, I know, I assume there's an absolute ton. I just accidentally hit the podcast there. Let me see if I can stop it. I assume there are a ton of these reviews up now because we've been asking people to do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the total is, but I have literally read every single one, and there are hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, 3,400. So 3,400 of you have given us a rating so far. So if you're out there listening right now, I would appreciate you going and giving us more ratings. You can search out my name, Outkick. You can search out the name of the show, Outkick, or my name, Clay Travis. All right. What is the latest that is out there, Danny G?
Yeah, so we're going to reward the podcast listeners right now with the best 5-star reviews with the exclusive Outkick 5-star t-shirt. But you know,
this is the only way you can get the Outkick 5-star t-shirt is by giving a 5-star review.
Yeah, these are very exclusive, okay? This is the best Outkick t-shirt you can get. I like to start with a 1-star review, though, just so that your head doesn't get even bigger than it already is. This is from CIAB, that's his iTunes handle, and his title, Clay is a Brick. his review?
Yes.
Clay is a brick.
That's it?
That's it. And I guess that's like thick as a brick. He must be talking about your head.
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, my haters, like, as I continue to rise in influence, prominence, stellar success, they become more desperate, I think. They're floundering now. Like, it's harder and harder to find them, and they're becoming less and less witty. So, good job. Good job out there, haters.
Yeah, and I've seen you play sports before. That'd be a better description of your basketball game right there. Clay is a brick. All right, let's go to the first T-shirt winner here from ECU Joe. His title for his five-star review, John McClain the GOAT.
John McClain is great.
Yeah. He said he listened to the last interview that you had with John McClain, and he wants to drive to Texas and eat barbecue with him. And
oh, that's
watch
a great
Western
idea.
Movies.
Yeah.
He says that John McClain is the GOAT. What a thoughtful and interesting guy. Keep up the good work. I like when you have him on the program.
John is a fantastic guy, and we need to get him on next week. I reached out to him to see if he could come on this morning, but he was too busy running around doing a lot of things. But Baylor, he's a huge Baylor fan. He went to Baylor, I believe, undergrad. He's in their Hall of Fame, Athletics Hall of Fame. They inducted him. Been covering the NFL for 45 years. Obviously, this Deshaun Watson story has thrown everything for in a loop. Let's be honest, like, you don't anticipate if you are covering the NFL that suddenly the star player on your team is going to end up in a multi-month legal entanglement. And so that has been a battle the likes of which very few writers in the history of NFL teams have had to cover to such an extent. And I feel like it's just getting started, the mess that is Deshaun Watson. So I agree. John McClain is fantastic.
Big Blue Bobby C. And his review is titled, I'm with Outkick. He says, what a breath of fresh air it is to listen to Fox Sports Radio's Outkick the Coverage in Florida, especially after being subjected to the nonsensical twist applied to sports reporting up north by ESPN Radio. Clay Travis has a clear and simple way of not only delivering sports news, but he sets a logical, fact-based editorial on the real relationship between sports and the rest of our social issues. From a New Yorker who had enough of the false application of the so-called politically correct approach to everything, I am now a devoted listener to Outkick. Thanks, Bobby C., the Big Blue Giants fan.
Appreciate that from Bobby C. A lot of people have found us all over the place, but I think in particular people who've been driven insane in some ways by the way that other sports media covers this story on a day-to-day basis, the story of sports in a larger context. There are a lot of people who feel like they aren't being spoken for, and I know this show speaks for a lot of those people, so that certainly is something that I'm proud of.
All right, and the next five-star winner, Chris A., his title, Eddie's 6 Minutes. In honor of the 6 minutes that Eddie saves by bailing on the show early, I'll make this brief.
Yes.
I've been listening to the show all the way back to Opaque Gate.
Yes.
And I don't miss a single episode. I got my wife to listen, and she's also hooked. Clay and the crew are always honest and straightforward where others have agendas. This is so refreshing. Come for the sports and stay for the entertainment of Animal Thunderdome, technology failing rants, Danny's Tinderonis, and of course Petros. Chris in Nashville, he says, sorry, Clay, we infiltrated your state from Chicago.
I got to tell you this, and I'm probably jinxing it in many ways. Dub, when's the last time that our technology failed?
Man, you are going to jinx this so hard.
I mean, but our phones, like, we haven't had, I totally jinxed it, but we had like 3 years where the phones would never work, to the point where my biggest fear when we were interviewing President Trump was that somehow the phones wouldn't work. It wasn't about interviewing the president. It was like, oh my God, what if he calls us and we just drop him and it's the president? It's not like we can just call the White House back. So that was my biggest fear about having the president on, was that somehow our technology would fail. But it's been like a year, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been on a real hot streak with the phones, and you're absolutely right. They have been as reliable as they've ever been recently, but now that you bring it up, I'm sure we're going to have some technical difficulties here in the coming weeks and months ahead.
I don't think there's any doubt. All right, Danny G, what else you got?
All right, let's go to the next. Yeah, and what says is that the...
Hold on a sec. Is this real life? Did Danny G's own phone stop working here as soon as I said? Now, this is your cell phone, not the actual cell phones associated with, not the phones associated with the show. But immediately, literally right after I say, I feel like in some way, Dub, there's somebody out there like in the NSA who listens and just screws with us.
That may have just been Danny G screwing with us, I think.
Is that intentional?
You might be right. You might be right. All right, this one is from MJ, the best in sports. I've been listening to Clay for over 6 years now. He single-handedly took down MSESPN morning radio ratings and their woke virtue signaling. Authenticity and consistent standards matter. Although China and the NBA may not like my five-star review, I won't just shut up and listen. I'm more than a listener. I also type reviews. I hope to get credit from Danny for being brave and sending Clay a compliment. D-Bat.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's good stuff.
There you go. Those are our winners for this week. Now, if you heard your review being read, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter, at Danny G Radio. And if for some reason you don't have a Twitter, you can always go to DannyGRadio.com and message me there on the site.
All right. You have your own website. I didn't even know that. When we come back, we are going to talk with Paul Kaharsky, breaking down everything in the NFL. Most recently, everything surrounding the NFL draft.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We are rolling through the program. We are joined now by the Outkick 360's Paul Kaharsky. They are doing a daily show. Begins at noon Eastern, 11 Central, 10 Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. You can watch that every single day at Outkick.com, certainly on Twitter, YouTube, and you can go grab that podcast as well. Paul, we got a lot of NFL stories. Obviously, the Masters is underway. Do you find yourself getting sucked into the Masters as much as I do and so many people that are out there listening to us now do as well? Or do you find yourself not paying that much attention to it?
No, I'm in. Though I do a much better job on the weekend if I'm in front of the TV. My kids got a lot of games scheduled this weekend, so it'll be weather reliant as to whether I'm able to or how much I'm able to watch live. Was fortunate enough to go to a practice round a couple years ago, so that completely changes the perspective when you've actually walked the course, which TV doesn't do justice, which isn't the case for very many venues. That
I agree. I think you have to be able to walk it, even as majestic as it looks on television. It's actually much better in person. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. And, you know, I got a little skin in the game. Cameron Smith, Tony Finau are of interest to me. Smith in particular, based on how he did last year. So I don't know how that's going to play out after what we saw on opening day. But obviously it takes a while for things to hash themselves out. I understand how some people are bored by golf on TV, and I'm kind of fascinated by the idea that a good golf tournament, particularly with high stakes, is actually makes for compelling TV. But I can't explain it to people who don't understand it. How people don't understand it.
I think it's an interesting point. To me, I'm not sure that any sport benefits more from HD and from television than golf. Because... to me, like, if you go back and watch in standard definition, it's so much harder to watch than it is in HD. And also, they do such an incredible job storyline-wise. Because I was talking about this yesterday on the show. If you watch a basketball, football, baseball, hockey game, whatever sport you like, you know what's happening even if there is no sound associated with the game itself, right? Like, you can go sit and watch as a fan at that event and know exactly what's taking place. If you're at a golf course, you really have no idea outside of your hole and maybe another hole you can see about what's exactly going on unless you look at the board and see what the scores are. But at home on television, they do such an incredible job of taking you into the story itself. They're basically putting it together in a way that doesn't exist for any other sport. So I think watching golf on television, honestly, we were talking about how it's cool to go walk around a course. But if you told me, hey, you can, you know, sit 20 deep at Augusta, or you can sit and watch on Sunday, I feel like it's a lot easier to know what's happening just watching on television. And it's not just Augusta, by the way. I've been to the U.S. Open. I've been to other places. It's hard to know what the storyline is if you're not actually watching on television.
Yeah, and sometimes they go a little bit too much into the storytelling and away from the story of the rounds, or there are interesting things going on in terms of player movement that isn't necessarily at the very top of the
leaderboard. Yeah, because the guys who are big names are better television, so sometimes they don't show some of those guys who might be having better rounds because there's less interest in them.
Yeah, but I do. I think you're either in or out on golf on TV, and I'm definitely in, certainly for the majors. And we were talking about this a little bit on our show. It's one of those sports that certainly, if you turn on a regular tournament on a final round Sunday, if Nance is calling it a non-major, it feels big, pulls you in and it's big. And if it's just a regular crew, you're like, I could take it or leave it. If there's some tight, taut drama on the back nine of, whatever it's called, whatever insurance company sponsoring it and Nance is doing it, I could get into that too. And it's also not the worst sport to take a Sunday nap in front of.
Yeah, right, which happens a lot. We're talking to Paul Kaharsky, Outkick 360. You can go check them out every single day, including noon Eastern later today. All right, let's dive into some of these big NFL stories, because while the Masters is going on, we also have a lot of intriguing stories that are ongoing. And one of them is what's going to happen at number 3 in the NFL draft. Trevor Lawrence to the Jags, Zach Wilson to the Jets seem basically to be written in stone at this point. But the 49ers are going to take a quarterback. And starting really kind of Wednesday, the numbers started to move in a big way where Mac Jones is now favored as the number 3 overall pick in the odds markets, if you go to, for instance, the FanDuels of the world and look that up. Do you think that they are actually going to, the 49ers, take Mac Jones, or is this a lot of noise that isn't necessarily supported by what the 49er decision will be?
We had Dane Brugler from The Athletic on, who, in our estimation, is one of the best draft analysts out there. He puts together looks at twice as many guys as are going to be drafted in the Beast at The Athletic. He's superb. And he says you look at Mac Jones and the two most important things you want quarterback are accuracy and decision-making, and he's got those. It's the other stuff that, you might question, the arm strength, the mobility. I still have trouble just – if you need the quarterback, you go up and you take your shot until you get him, right? Trey Lance, to me, he's got the limited resume, but it seems like he's got more potential upside. And so I personally would be more intrigued by Trey Lance. But, I think Shanahan, he's got a system that works, and he knows what works in that system. And, I won't be surprised if it's Mac Jones, though I'd, as a 49ers fan, I'd have some trouble being super excited about the number 3 pick in the draft being Mac Jones, I think. So, and then, for the 4th guy to be one of those two, everybody's so excited about potentially the first 4 picks being quarterbacks, certainly the first 3. And I think we tend to get carried away, without reminding ourselves that odds are probably more than half of these guys don't pan out.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an exciting time, and I think everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence pans out, has the highest potential to hit for sure of guys we've seen in a long time. But, the last class that all the number one all the quarterbacks from the first round are still with the team that drafted them. It is all the way back in 2020.
Yeah.
So in 2 years, recent history says, one of these guys isn't even going to be with the team that drafted, which is just crazy to think about how desperate you are for a quarterback and then how quickly one of them is not even going to be with a team that made this massive investment in him.
There's no doubt, and that's changed, I think, with the decision.
Used to be super patient.
Yeah.
Super patient. You were guaranteed to get 4 years. You were almost guaranteed to get the fifth-year option.
That's right. And what's happened is Josh Rosen, 1 year, first-round pick, jettisoned. Dwayne Haskins, less than 2 years, didn't even finish his second year with the Washington football team, gone. And now, you know, Sam Darnold, a lot of people want to compare him, and I'm going to ask you about that. A lot of people want to compare him to Ryan Tannehill, but Sam Darnold is still only 23 years old, you know, and he only got 3 years.
At least with Rosen and Darnold, you've got, I mean, it's a whole new thing too, but you've got a new regime coming in and just deciding like, hey, we've got a high pick again. We don't feel as great about that draft pick, high draft pick, as the previous regime did, so we're going to do it again. You know, somebody like Haskins, they just said he's not good enough. They don't have an alternative. It's not like Washington set at quarterback or has a high draft pick that they're going to spend on one. That's just a myth, and it's not like somebody else has scooped him up and is banking on him. So that's just a more straight miss. But this trend where you're willing to move on from your quarterback to go draft another high quarterback in very short order is really a brand new thing.
What do you think about the idea of Sam Darnold as potentially a Ryan Tannehill redo? Do you buy into the idea that he can be redeemed in some way, that he has the talent for the new regime with the Carolina Panthers, for Matt Rhule and for Joe Brady, who have had, you know, a lot of success in the college game? Do you think they can find a guy in Sam Darnold and bring him back?
I think it's worth a stab given what's available on the market to them. You know, ownership there, Tepper wants a star quarterback. It's no secret that's out from people who cover the team closely. So Deshaun Watson was somebody I think that they were going to really go after. Now you look at the draft, they couldn't get up to the top, or it wasn't practical for them to get up to the top. Now the price compared to Ryan Tannehill is still cheap, but it's not nowhere as cheap as Tannehill was, with the fourth rounder and Miami picking up a good share of that last year of salary. Darnold, and that was the second contract for Tannehill. So salary's not a big issue for Darnold. But, you know, they gave up three reasonably valuable picks. But that's not an expensive cost if you find yourself a starting quarterback. Like you said, good coaching. Darnold, you know, has talent. He's coming from maybe the worst franchise. Adam Gase is a real player killer. It's hardly like Ryan Tannehill was the only guy that had a resurgence after getting a divorce from Gase. There are numbers of offensive players who, once freed from Adam Gase, played far, far better. So there's a lot of evidence that it could go well. I like the direction the Panthers are heading. And I think, given what options they have, which could be the fifth quarterback in the draft, or more Bridgewater, who didn't really pan out for them, seems like a smart risk, and it doesn't prohibit them. We just finished saying nothing really prohibits you from going back to the well next year, but this certainly doesn't. So, you know, he could be in a backup role next year for them if it doesn't pan out. But I think it's a worthwhile attempt at a not super expensive cost by any means.
Talking to Paul Kaharsky, Outkick 360 is where you can find him. All right, couple of other NFL stories that I think are intriguing here. Deshaun Watson, what are you hearing from NFL people? I mean, I don't really analyze this now from a NFL perspective. I mean, I try to put my lawyer hat on and analyze it from that perspective. I mean, I think it's possible that Deshaun Watson never plays again in the NFL. Now, I'm not saying that that's likely or even a high probability, but I think it's certainly possible. There's a lot of different outcomes here. What do the Texans do? They don't have a first and a second round pick. Now they don't have a quarterback who I think it's fair to say is I think it's really fair to say, is unlikely to play in 2021 anywhere, given what's going on. Have you ever seen a story like this? And how do you even begin to analyze it, Paul, from an NFL perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's very unique. But everybody finds their way back. We love the second chance stories. I know all of this stuff is reprehensible, and the evidence certainly, what we're hearing evidence wise and the numbers, and you and I have talked about this every time I've been on, and I know you've talked about it very, very thoroughly, certainly suggests, it's highly unlikely that he's coming out of this innocent.
22 people don't say that you did something wrong very often, independent of each other, with all unique circumstances. Not like they were all at the same place and they're all eyewitnesses to the same story. These are 22 different distinct incidents that they're all claiming some variation of the same thing.
Plus the Sports Illustrated story, which we talked about, which
gets into 23.
Of all of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, the NFL and America, especially if he doesn't end up in jail, has a way of, if he disappears for a time, there'll be a rehabilitation project for his image. Some team will come forward, pay whatever it costs, which is a way reduced price to get him on their roster, and proclaim that they're giving him a second chance and looking to let him rehabilitate himself. And then if he plays good football for that team after whatever time served, either legally and NFL wise, he'll reemerge. Michael Vick reemerged. Antonio Brown reemerged. I'm not equalizing anybody's offenses. I'm just saying it's the way the league generally works. And so I think that'll happen over time. He's still young enough, even if it's a year and a half or 2 years, that he's talented enough that I think that will likely be the case. And it could be a whole new crop of teams that we're talking about, because all of these teams that have been the suitors now will have moved on to something else, and there'll be a whole new crop of teams looking for quarterbacks at the stage when he may technically become available again. The league being so quiet is weird. They did finally say something. The investigation's ongoing. It's odd that they've slowed down so much when they've spoken out more quickly, more often in recent years. So I don't really understand that. But I think they've got the benefit of time in that there's nothing for him to be at. He wasn't going to be at these OTAs, which are going to at least start remotely. He wasn't going to be at them anyway. We talked to John McClain this week, who points out the obvious. I mean, he was going to hold out, allegedly, and sacrifice all of this money. And now he could conceivably be on the commissioner's exempt list, where he's not allowed to come and make all of his money, which is just a bizarro change of, flip of the switch.
No, I don't think there's any doubt at all. We're talking to Paul Kaharsky, Outkick 360. Okay, we've started to talk this question, and obviously you have the right to amend your answer as it becomes closer to the draft, because draft obsessive talk as we come in, at least now we're in the draft month. I believe we are, what is it, 20 days until the NFL draft is officially here? I think that's right. All right, so 20 days from now, you have your right to amend your answer as we move closer and closer to the NFL draft. Who is the most sure thing to you out there? I think you would agree the quarterback is almost never the answer at who is the most sure thing out there. And so to you, of the guys that you see at the top of the first round, or maybe it's even lower into the first round, who to you is the surest thing out there in the NFL draft this year?
Maybe I'm going to surprise people. I'm going to skip by tight end even.
Because my answer is Kyle Pitts. I think he's the guy, if you told me I have to put, a substantial sum of money, this guy is going to be a stud basically from the time he gets into the league for the next 7 or 8 years, Kyle Pitts would be my guy. So he would be my pick.
I think that's a good answer. This was a safer strategy at a different 10 years ago. The offensive lineman is usually safest. But I'm going to say Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, particularly if he winds up in the right situation. But, like, if he goes to Cincinnati to protect Joe Burrow's blind side, I could see him easily being a 10-year guy. You know, he doesn't have to be one of the greatest tackles of all time. But if he's a very good tackle who's connected to Joe Burrow for 10 years with the Bengals, that'd be a marriage made in heaven. And he'll be a key player for that organization, that quarterback, or whichever quarterback he winds up protecting for a long time. And I think it's hard for me to picture him flopping. And I'd say the same thing about the second tackle and Slater from Northwestern. So I feel very good about those two guys, and I feel like there's more, just a little bit more of a boom or bust element with everybody else in the draft. Even Pitts, who I love too. I think that Pitts is a very good answer to that question. But those two tackles are who I'd go with off the top. We discussed this question before. Before we set up me coming on, and that's who I came with. And I do reserve the right to change my mind.
I think we'll check every week going forward because more info comes out, and the way that draft could take place. I mean, you're right. We could have four quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. Or the Falcons and Arthur Smith, who you know a little bit, sitting there at 4, may say, you know what, we know, because I think if they draft, I think they'll take Pitts. They may say, we know Pitts is going to be a stud in this offense. We don't want to trade back and end up with some guy we don't think is going to be a difference maker for us. And so we're going to go ahead and take our guy at 4 as opposed to trying to add more picks. I think it's an intriguing proposition that likely they will be faced with, presuming if especially Justin Fields is still there at 4, there may be a team that is in love with him that wants to try to move up the board and make him their quarterback of the future. Paul Kuharsky, we will talk to you again probably next week. Enjoy the Masters. I hope you get a nap in watching the Masters as well. And have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Yep, that's Paul Kuharsky.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. That is Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It. In the background, the melodic tunes, meaning we have made it through another week. You guys have made it through another 15 hours of hanging out with me here and the OutKick crew. And many of you, I would imagine, are going to spend a substantial portion of your Friday following along with the scores or watching in person. Justin Rose officially underway on the golf course, and he's got the -7. He has got the leader's jacket right now, and we'll see whether or not it still fits come Saturday and on into Sunday. But that is where we are right now with the Friday edition of the Masters underway. Now, also want to point out, I tease this a little bit. I'm excited. I may or may not be on very much on the program Monday, depending on how the Masters goes and how wild the weekend is. I may have to appear from the phone a little bit. I'm going to be down in Tampa. I am traveling down with my wife to go to WrestleMania in the stadium there. Saturday is a 2-day event. Saturday, we will not be there. I got to coach Little League Baseball on Saturday morning. But Saturday evening, I am flying down, and we will be there on Sunday watching WrestleMania from down near the front of the ring, I believe, near the front row. And it should be an awful lot of fun. My wife went to WrestleMania 3, I believe it was, in Detroit back in the day in the Silver Dome and sat all the way at the top. We have kids who are big wrestling fans, and at some point, we're going to get them to WrestleMania. But this time, It is dad and mom. And so we are going to be there on Sunday. So I think I'm going to be out traveling back from Tampa on Monday. So if you don't hear my voice, that's where I am. But if there's craziness that happens over the course of the weekend, then I will hop on the show from my hotel room down in Tampa. But in the meantime, it should be a really fun time. I'm excited to get down there, and I can't wait to see what it looks like to do WrestleMania from down on the ground right by the ring. So, appreciate all of you. Another week in the books. I want to tell you, as always, go download and subscribe to the podcast. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Outkick. You heard Danny G giving the five-star reviews. We got five-star t-shirts for all of those of you who give us a five-star review. If you go take the time to do it and Danny G reads your review, the only place I believe you can get a five-star t-shirt is through the illustrious aspect of giving us a five-star review. So, Dub, last chance to break down the Masters as we roll into the weekend. What's your call? Does Justin Rose get it done and hang on or not?
Well, here's my hope, at least. I hope Justin Rose goes out there, and no disrespect to the great Justin Rose, but I hope he goes out there, shoots about a 74 or 75 this morning.
And just
and
makes it a total mess.
Brings everybody back in. Because as we stand, I was checking the live odds last night before I went to bed, and three of my guys are still in
alive.
The hunt. They're under 20-1 with Webb, Rahm, and Spieth. So I'm hoping Rose goes and shoots about a 74-2 over, brings everybody back in, and we have just an unbelievable anybody can win it weekend.
It is big because he's out so early now that by noon, you know, by the time that a lot of people really kind of get their phones out and start checking the scores, if you're not willing to take a day off, which I know a lot of people are going to be like, I'll just, you know, put it on and watch all day. But if you're, you know, not checking until around noon, if he went out and had another round anywhere near what he did on Thursday, I mean, he could be a prohibitive favorite before we even get to the weekend. It's rare you see somebody with a four-stroke lead at Augusta after one round. If he went out and went under again by a couple of strokes, I mean, he would put himself in an incredible spot heading into Saturday and Sunday. So we'll see how he sleeps. We'll see how well he manages things on Friday as he's now out on the course, and also how well his health is, because he's had a lot of health-related concerns in the past, and we'll see if that could potentially rear its ugly head. I appreciate all of you. We've had a whale of a week starting on Monday with Baylor's big win on Monday night, now finishing off with the Masters. I'll be at WrestleMania on Sunday. Can't wait to check it out. I appreciate all of you. Go give us five stars. All you have to do is go to iTunes, search out Clay Travis, search out Outkick. Appreciate all of you, and thanks for all the time that you have spent with us this week. We'll be back on Monday, same bat time, same bat channel. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.